Right. So, have you ever heard of a mistake of law defense? You know, like that whole, I didn't know that was illegal argument. Well, today we're going to be diving deep into whether that actually holds up in court.
Ooh, exciting.
Spoiler alert, it usually doesn't.
Yeah.
And to see exactly why, we're looking at People v. Marrero.
Oh, okay.
It's a 1987 New York case that, get this, still gets cited today.
Wow.
Pretty wild.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. What's so fascinating about this case is it involves a federal corrections officer,
Oh, wow.
Julio Marrero. He was arrested for carrying a loaded gun
Oh, no.
in a Manhattan social club.
You'd think someone in that line of work would be pretty clear on firearm laws, right? I mean, what was his defense?
Well, Marrero genuinely believed that he was covered by a peace officer exemption in the New York law. He thought his federal status automatically allowed him to carry a concealed weapon even when he was off duty.
Oh.
But the trial court didn't buy it, and he was convicted of criminal possession of a weapon.
So even though he thought that he was following the law, he was still found guilty.
Yes. And this is where we bump into what are called strict liability crimes.
Okay.
In these cases, your intent doesn't actually matter,
Right.
only the action itself. And possession of a weapon in this instance falls under that category in New York.
So it's not enough to just say, oh, I misunderstood that law.
Not really.
Makes
And that's
sense.
where the whole mistake of law defense and its very specific exception come in.
Okay, so this is where it gets interesting for our listeners. What exactly is the mistake of law defense, and what's this exception we're talking about?
Under New York Penal Law, Section 15.2, you're arguing that you didn't know something was illegal is almost never a valid defense.
Wow.
The exception, though, and it's a narrow one, is if your mistake was based on an official statement of the law,
Okay.
not your personal interpretation.
So it's like the difference between taking tax advice from a friend versus relying on an official IRS publication.
Exact.
Even if both turn out to be wrong, only the IRS document has that legal weight.
Exactly. And that's what tripped Marrero up. He based his understanding on his own reading of the statutes, not on any official statement that explicitly granted federal corrections officers the exemption he thought he had.
So what did the Court of Appeals ultimately decide?
They upheld his conviction,
Oh, wow.
their reasoning, allowing personal misinterpretations as a defense, even if made in good faith, would essentially make it impossible to enforce laws consistently.
So they were concerned about setting a precedent that could lead to chaos in the legal system.
Yes. The court argued it would open the floodgates for all sorts of contrivances, as they put it. People basically making up excuses to get out of trouble.
But wasn't there a dissenting opinion in this case?
That's right. Justice Hancock argued that the majority's interpretation was too rigid, especially considering the complexity of the statutes involved. He felt that Marrero's mistake was understandable and that the law should be interpreted with more leniency in cases like these.
So even in this seemingly straightforward case, there's room for debate about how strictly to apply the mistake of law defense.
Absolutely. The Marrero case highlights the constant tension between strictly applying the letter of the law and considering the individual's intent and understanding.
And it raises an important question for our listeners. How much weight should be given to someone's genuine misunderstanding of the law, especially when dealing with complex legal language?
This is precisely why People v. Marrero continues to be such a significant case.
Yeah.
It forces us to confront the potential for injustice when strict liability meets a mistake of law defense. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Hold on to your hats, folks, because things are about to get even more interesting.
Welcome back. So, as promised, we're now going to kind of wade into the murky waters of how technology might be changing the landscape of the mistake of law defense.
Okay, so let's unpack this a little bit. We've been talking about how the courts have traditionally taken a very strict view of what qualifies as an official statement of the law. But how does technology, specifically AI, fit into all of this?
Well, think about it. Legal research used to be a painfully slow process, sifting through stacks of books, chasing down obscure precedents, real needle in a haystack situation. But AI-powered tools, they're kind of changing the game. They can analyze vast amounts of legal data in seconds, potentially offering insights that would have taken human lawyers weeks or even months to
So
uncover.
instead of relying on your own potentially flawed interpretation or paying a lawyer thousands of dollars to do the research, you could theoretically just plug your question into an AI and get an answer.
That's the idea. And it raises a fascinating question. What happens when someone relies on a legal interpretation that's generated by a sophisticated AI and not like a human lawyer or judge?
Is that still considered a personal interpretation in the eyes of the law? Or could you argue that the AI, with its access to so much data, actually represents a more authoritative source than an individual's own reading?
That's the crux of the issue. As AI becomes more and more deeply integrated into the legal profession, the courts are inevitably going to have to grapple with this very question. Could these tools, in a sense, become sources of official legal interpretation themselves?
I can see how that could be a game changer for the mistake of law defense.
Hmm.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Even if AI can analyze mountains of data, don't we still need a human lawyer to, make sure it's being used correctly and that the output makes sense in the real world?
Absolutely. AI is a tool. It's not a replacement for human judgment. And just like any tool, it can be used incorrectly or produce faulty results. But the same can be said for human lawyers, can it?
Oh, absolutely.
They misinterpret statutes, overlook precedents, make errors in judgment. It happens.
So you're saying that relying on an AI's interpretation might not be that different from relying on a human lawyer's analysis, at least in terms of like the potential for error?
It's not a perfect analogy, but there are definitely parallels. And this is where the official statement rule gets really interesting. If a lawyer makes a mistake based on their own flawed research, that's on them. But what happens when the mistake originates from an AI?
Okay, let's bring this back to People v. Marrero. How might AI have potentially changed the outcome of that case?
Imagine Marrero had access to an AI-powered legal research tool. He plugs in the relevant statutes about peace officers. He could have received a more nuanced and comprehensive analysis, potentially revealing that his understanding of the exemption was flawed.
So instead of relying on his own potentially biased reading, he would have had this like data-driven interpretation to inform his decision about carrying a gun.
Exactly. Now, would that have satisfied the official statement requirement? Hard to say for sure, but it certainly could have strengthened his defense and perhaps even led to a different outcome.
Yeah. And this is all hypothetical, of course, but it's fascinating to think about how AI is already starting to kind of poke holes in some of the long-held assumptions of our legal system.
It's a brave new world out there. And it's not just legal research. We're seeing AI being used for everything from drafting contracts to predicting litigation outcomes, even assisting judges in sentencing decisions.
Oh, wow. Sounds like we're on the verge of like a legal tech revolution.
I think that's a fair assessment. And with any revolution, there will be challenges and opportunities. The legal profession, like so many others, is going to have to adapt and figure out how to integrate these new technologies while still upholding those core principles of fairness and justice.
It's a lot to wrap our heads around. So for our listeners who are already feeling a little overwhelmed, what's the key takeaway from this whirlwind tour of AI and the law?
Here's what I'd say. The days of legal research being a purely human endeavor are coming to an end. AI is here to stay, and it's going to fundamentally change the way we understand and practice law.
So the big question becomes, how do we harness the power of AI while also ensuring that it doesn't undermine the very foundations of our legal system?
Exactly. And that's a conversation we need to be having right now, not 5 or 10 years down the line when these technologies are even more deeply embedded in our lives.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, from the specifics of People v. Marrero to the broader implications of the mistake of law defense and the potential disruption of AI. Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into People v. Marrero.
Yep.
We've explored the case itself, the mistake of law defense, and the looming presence of AI in the legal world.
Right.
Now, let's get down to like brass tacks.
Okay.
How is AI actually being used in legal practice today?
So one area where we're seeing a huge impact is legal research.
Okay.
Platforms are emerging that can sift through mountains of case law, statutes, and regulations.
Wow.
In a fraction of the time it would take a human.
It's like having a superhuman research assistant at your beck and call.
Right, precisely. These AI tools can help lawyers uncover relevant precedents, spot potential issues in contracts, and even predict the outcome of litigation with surprising accuracy.
That sounds incredibly powerful. But doesn't it also raise some ethical concerns?
Right.
What if an AI tool overlooks like a crucial piece of information?
Yeah.
Or makes an incorrect prediction?
Yeah.
Who's ultimately responsible for those errors?
That's a question that's being debated right now. The legal profession is still wrestling with how to integrate these powerful tools responsibly. Ultimately, the buck stops with the human lawyer. AI should be seen as a way to augment and support human judgment, not replace it entirely.
So it's similar to the debate around self-driving cars. Even with highly advanced technology, we still need a human driver, ready to take control if things go wrong.
That's a great analogy. And just like with self-driving cars, there's a lot of legal and ethical groundwork to be laid before AI can be seamlessly integrated into the legal system.
We've touched on legal research, but I've also heard AI is making waves in contract drafting.
AI-powered platforms can now analyze existing contracts, identify potential risks and problematic clauses, and even generate customized contracts tailored to specific needs.
So AI could potentially automate a lot of the repetitive, time-consuming tasks that lawyers currently handle.
And that raises interesting questions about the future of the legal profession. Could this free up lawyers to focus on more complex and strategic work, advising clients, negotiating deals, or crafting legal arguments for court?
But wouldn't that also lead to some job displacement? If AI can do a lot of what lawyers do now, isn't there a risk of some lawyers being replaced?
That's a valid concern.
Yeah.
The legal profession needs to address this proactively. However, I believe that AI is more likely to enhance the role of lawyers rather than make them obsolete. The most successful lawyers in the future will be those who embrace and leverage these new technologies to provide better, faster, and more cost-effective services.
So it's not AI versus lawyers, but rather AI and lawyers working together.
It's about using AI to augment human skills and expertise, not replace them.
Let's bring it all back to the mistake of law defense. Given the increasing sophistication of AI, could these technologies actually change how courts view this defense in the years to come?
It's certainly a possibility. As AI becomes more and more deeply integrated into legal research and analysis, courts might need to reconsider what constitutes an official statement of the law. Could an interpretation generated by an AI, with its vast access to legal data and precedent, be deemed authoritative enough to form the basis for a successful mistake of law defense? It's a question that will likely spark debate and legal challenges in the future.
It feels like we're on the cusp of a paradigm shift in the legal world.
We are, and it's crucial for anyone involved in law, lawyers, students, even those outside the profession, to be aware of these changes.
We've covered a lot of ground today, from a 1987 case about a corrections officer to the future of law in the age of AI. What's the most important thing you want our listeners to take away from this deep dive?
The law is not static. It's constantly evolving in response to new challenges and technologies. It's our responsibility as legal professionals and citizens to engage with these changes thoughtfully, ensuring that our legal system remains fair, just, and accessible to all.
That's a powerful point to end on. Thank you for guiding us through this fascinating exploration of People v. Marrero and the future of law in the age of AI.
It's been my pleasure.
And to our listeners, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep pushing the boundaries of legal thought. Until next time, this has been The Deep Dive.